Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. The Supreme Court has delivered what's been called a gut punch to the fight against climate change. The court says the Environmental Protection Agency does not have the authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. Some environmental activists say that means Massachusetts and other states will have to play an even bigger role in cutting emissions than they're doing now. Brad Campbell is president of the Boston-based Conservation Law Foundation and one of many environmental activists reacting to the high court's decision with alarm.
This is a major blow to EPA's ability to fight climate change. It's a major restriction in the agency's authority under the Clean Air Act to reduce pollution from power plants and other industrial facilities. So it's a big deal.
If you look at the court's arguments, the majority seems to say that the Environmental Protection Agency does not have the authority, that Congress did not give it the authority to regulate carbon emissions from power plants. So I'm wondering, is it the case where Congress could, if it chose to, simply grant those powers and then this would be null and void, or does it not work that way?
It's unclear. First, the decision does not technically take away EPA's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. What it has done is really negated a provision under which Congress in the Clean Air Act said that EPA, in requiring emissions reductions, EPA has the authority to identify what the best system of reducing emissions is. And in the case of power plants, EPA decided that the most effective way to reduce emissions from power plants is to shift generation to renewable sources. And the court essentially said that that approach to emissions reductions is beyond EPA's authority. And the problem with that is that Congress routinely gives the agencies broad authority, precisely so that the agencies can address problems, threats to human health and the environment, that Congress can't foresee or doesn't have the technical know-how to resolve.
So what happens in the meantime on the local level for Massachusetts, for New England? We know there's a regional greenhouse gas initiative here that limits emissions. Could you tell us whether or not the Supreme Court decision will change that at all?
This decision really puts the ball back in the court of the states and the region and even local governments to take meaningful action on climate. The good news is that 5 out of our 6 New England states have strong climate laws in place. The bad news is that Massachusetts, which has had its law in place the longest and which the legislature has recently strengthened, the implementation of that law has been very slow.
So who in your view, and obviously you have a stake in this, but who are you saying has been too slow to act here?
Well, the Baker administration has been slow to act, as was, frankly, the Patrick administration beforehand. And other states that also have climate laws in place in New England, New Hampshire being the only one that doesn't, really are looking to Massachusetts to take the lead, having had their climate law in place the longest.
With the Supreme Court's decision, will the New England area, or at least the northeastern United States, bear the brunt of the impact? Because we already bear the brunt of the air pollution that's sweeping across the country. The ocean is warming in this area at a faster rate than in the rest of the world. So is the Northeast set to be hit with a disproportionate impact from the ruling?
New England and the Northeast really do bear disproportionate impacts from climate change. And that impact is, of course, even greater in communities of color and low income that are hit first and worst by not only climate change, but also more other pollutants, soot and smog. And the importance of action here in New England to reduce emissions is not just the actual emissions reductions that occur in the region, but really the work of designing the tools and identifying the solutions we need in order to reduce emissions economy-wide. Not only will that influence other states, but it'll also help generate the technologies and the innovation we need to make sure this region benefits economically from the new technologies that are needed for a clean energy transition.
Brad Campbell, president of the Conservation Law Foundation based in Boston, thank you.
Thank you.
We asked Governor Baker's office to respond to Campbell's claim that the administration has not been aggressive enough in adopting policies and programs to reduce carbon emissions. We haven't received a response. But today, state officials released a plan to meet emissions targets for the years 2025 and 2030.